This show is sponsored by Nature Box, where you can order great tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Snack smarter in the new year with healthy and delicious treats like Santa Fe corn sticks and French toast granola. Support this podcast and get 50% off of your first order. Go to naturebox.com, promo code Joey. That's naturebox.com, promo code Joey. And for the premier vapor pen on the market, go to nailedlife.com. You can use oil and wax. Mention Joey Diaz and get 20% off of your order.
Oh, shit. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Wednesday, June 4th. The day the devil was buried at sea and fucked in the muffler. It's all over, you bad motherfuckers. I hope your feet are washed and your dick is washed. Everything's ready to rock. We ain't fucking around today. Crank that shit, Lee. Wiggle. Wiggle, Funko Joey Lee. Kick that motherfucker. What? Dun, 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 dun. Huh. Go, Lee. A little Spanish for you, Lee. Sing it. That's my boy. You hear the church of what's happening now? What's happening, you bad motherfuckers? Everything all right today?
Who me?
Yeah, you fuck.
Well, I'm like 5 minutes away from not understanding anything that happened. Oh, please. I picked him up and we went and got a pot cookie. So this is going to be an interesting podcast.
Two pot cookies, and you ate a quarter, and I lied to you. They weren't 100 milligrams.
You always lie to me. It's never.
Get ready to see the fucking devil. This is the same cookie that got us lost to San Diego this week. We're going deep tonight. Everything else don't fucking matter. I got two great guests in the studio. I got my brother Martin Moreno and my other little brother fucking Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias. What's happening, gentlemen?
What's up, Uncle Joey?
What up, Joey?
I can't call it. Great to have you motherfuckers here.
Thank you for sharing your treat with us.
Oh, please. It's an honor. Oh, yeah, yeah. You gotta get the blood going. You know what I'm saying? Because if not, I want everybody to be on the same wavelength here, so nobody's missing out nothing. What's going on with you there, Iron Maiden? You bad motherfucker. He's walking at me on the street. I'm like, look at this guy. He looks like a young Danny Trejo. Yeah, right? Look at him with his long hair.
Mexican D. Snyder.
That's fucking the axe. He's not even Machete. He's the axe. He's still...
I'm feeling good, Joey, man.
You look beautiful.
Thank you, bro.
I seen your son last week. That's a big motherfucker, dog.
6 foot four.
He's bigger than that Blake fucking Griffin.
He's a Mexican 6'4" pretty motherfucker.
He's a pretty motherfucker. God bless him. And God bless you. You did a good job of him. He's always very nice and very sweet. And what's up with you, you fucking savage of love? Because that's exactly what you are. You're just a fucking savage. That's it. Like, that's it. It's over. I got to ask you a question off the bat before we even go anywhere. When we were on that bus, on that plane ride, with mommy in the middle, and we both fell asleep on her coming back from Tucson. When you were sleeping that day, did you ever have a thought that you would have a concert movie coming out July 11, 2014? Oh,
my only goal at that moment was to pay my rent, man. I just wanted to, I had not even full rent, it was half rent.
It was $150. The club's name was Bugsy. If people came in with a bug, they got in for free. It was booked by Rudy Moreno.
I took home 30.
Right, you took home 30 and a check. I mean, did you ever think of what's happening right now in your world? Did you ever imagine this growing up? Did you ever imagine this on that plane ride when you were coming back from Bugsy's that day? I mean,
you know, the fact that I was just doing stand-up was the dream. It wasn't even thinking, oh, will it ever get to the point where it's a concert, you know? I mean, I was just happy to be on the road. I was happy to be performing with other comedians, and that was it for me. I didn't think it got better than that.
I mean, a couple weeks ago, I think I saw the trailer to the concert, and I just, you know, I watched it, and I watched it. It's like when you're there. I was right there. I saw that. That was the Bicycle Club 15 years ago.
Wow. I still owe Javier Sanchez $200.
You know, it's just, you know, people, when you first start doing stand-up, you see somebody on HBO. Mm-hmm. You see somebody on HBO. And that's how you get turned down to. At least I did. At least we did, you know, all the older generation. You saw somebody on HBO, and you thought that he just walked off the street, walked into the club,
and he's like that.
An hour. And that's what you thought. And you're like, I could do that, or I can't do that, or whatever the fuck. People don't know what goes on, what happens, how it starts. How one morning you wake up and you go, I'm funnier than that motherfucker. Then you tell your friends, and you tell a couple friends, and they say, fuck you, and they bet you 20 bucks that you're not going to go to the Laugh Factory on Latino night and get on stage. And you get on stage, and next thing you know, you're in the back of the car, you know, with other guys farting, and you sit in the back seat, you're running for sodas. Next thing you know, you're in the front seat. Next thing you know, you're driving the fucking car, and now you're a headliner. People don't know the journey, and I want people to know your fucking journey.
It's been 17 years in the making. I started doing stand-up comedy April 10th, 1997.
So,
July, I want to say that is probably the first time I met you.
Yes, because I moved here January 29th in 97. And I just remember going to Bugsy's with you, whatever, and then...
Remember Big Alex?
Fuck, with the three necks?
Yeah.
You never saw nobody that big.
That dude was massive.
It was amazing. It was amazing. His head... Remember he used to take us to eat? He'd pick us up in the truck
take us to eat
and... Then he dropped you off at this hotel. That
the Cliff Manor Inn.
Oh, and they
on Oracle.
On Oracle, and it's redone now. It's not a crack hotel no more.
Oh, no.
No, it's like a New York hotel, stand-up showers.
And you know what? When you don't know anything else, that was like the greatest hotel ever for me.
I didn't give a fuck.
It was the best. You know, the towels were clean. They had a radio and a TV. And, you know, I just thought that all hotels had to have the TVs bolted. I didn't know any better. I'm like, oh, well, at least I have a TV, you know.
That is crazy.
I didn't think that it got better than that.
They had the little Mexican place across the street.
The restaurant.
And I think I went down there with you, Mommy, and one time with Darren Carter. He wouldn't fucking shut the fuck up. Because I love Darren Carter. He's my brother. But Jesus Christ, too cold on the plane. Do you feel a draft? Darren, fuck. We're on a plane. Who gives a fuck? What would you rather do, be in a car? I feel a little draft. My neck. I have a long set tonight. But it's just imagine. And then I was thinking about the bicycle club. Like, we go down there on a Thursday night. It was in a bar.
The little corner inside the bar where I guess they played music. I had made it my room. I told the guy that was running it, Javier Sanchez. He says, hey, you know, if you could bring in at least 10 people, you know, I'll give you some tickets. You can, you know, pass them out, and I'll give you, you know, $100, and you pay whatever comics. And for the most time, we were just losing money. But, you know, he was happy. It was a show we would do every Thursday night, and that was the first gig I ever started promoting on a regular basis.
$35 it paid.
Probably.
Yeah, like a check for $35. You had to go back the next day.
Yeah.
And you didn't know. Like, you know, I gotta get a gram at 8 o'clock. So I would drive on the 7:10 at like 4:30, not knowing, into fucking traffic. It was just amazing. I still remember doing spots at, you know, Laugh Factory. You like building the Laugh Factory
for like $20 or $25 or something.
Not
like
even.
Well, no. Jamie would pay you those random weird $12 checks.
$12 and shit. And you know, you sit here and you look at this. Like, I've been in LA for 17 years, dog. No lie. When I came to LA, I thought this was just going to be a fluke. I thought I was just trying to kill time. I was just killing time to face reality. But then it became like Richard Gere, Officer and the Gentleman. I had nowhere else to go. That's it. And when you have nowhere else to go, what do? You keep getting on stage, and eventually you're going to get fucking funny.
Something's going to happen.
You know, it's funny. I go to jiu-jitsu now. You looked at me weird when I said that to you about a year ago. Because I got sleep apnea. And I hate being scared of something. I hate fucking being scared of it. Like, I'm scared of needles. Whenever I go get blood out, I bring Santana, Oye Como Va, and I put the iPod on, I look the other way, and I move my foot to the rhythm. I don't like blood. I don't like needles. That's why I go to acupuncture. Because I want to always overcome my fears.
Okay, I was going to say,
fucking hate it. So I'll go to acupuncture. I won't look at the needles. I'll look down. For the first 2 or 3 years, I fainted. Now I don't faint no more. I don't faint no more from the
needles. That's some masochistic shit.
You have to, because you know what happens when the Russians come? They're going to stick needles at me. You got to be fucking prepared. You know what I'm saying? You got to be prepared. If you know, they traded for 5 foot. Now they're going to trade, what's his name? They're going to trade fucking Derek Jeter for 6 Talibans. Did you hear about that one? The Taliban's going to come. They're going to fuck us up the ass. You got to be prepared. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to sit there, can't take fucking needles. What happens if terrorists take over and we're out of shape? We got to fucking run. That's why I'm getting in shape. I got to pick my daughter up and run. So I'm scared. Whenever I get on my back, I can't breathe. So I was talking to a friend of mine. He goes, why don't you go to jiu-jitsu? I go, God damn, I got to smell men's feet, men's asses and shit. And I tell you, I went and I fell in love with it, man.
How long have you been doing jiu-jitsu?
13 months. This is my 13th month.
Wow.
And I just started not getting scared because I couldn't breathe. So every time I go and do a couple hip escapes, bro, I had to get up, take my gi off, take the belt off, you're fucking breathing, you see scars, you see stars, you know. So I just wanted to overcome my fears. That's why I fucking started going to jiu-jitsu, just so I could breathe on my back, you know. That's the reason why.
Wow.
What are we talking about? I don't know. This cookie already
hit me. This cookie kicked in. I'm just mesmerized by your voice. You have a very hypnotizing voice.
Yes, yeah. I do. I don't fuck around, though.
You should read nursery little stories.
Oh, that's so hysterical.
It's hysterical because I look at the... Every morning when my daughter gets up, if I'm home, she runs to the room, the office, and I pick her up, and I got to do whatever I'm doing. I got to stop and put on ABC. You know, A is for apple. And when I'm saying A is for assholes, I'm saying all that shit in my head.
But you don't say it out loud.
No, I don't call her because she's 17 months. She's picking that shit up.
Absorbing everything.
One morning, she's going to look at me and go, what the fuck? My wife is going to die. I told my wife the other day, we got to stop cursing in front of her. She's like, me, you, not me. I don't curse that much in front of her, but it's hysterical when I read her things.
Mm-hmm.
I always, like when she's, the other day we were at the park and some kid hit a thing. And the thing hit her in the chest, and she looked at the kid really mean, and she started crying. The kid was older, and I looked at that little motherfucker in the back of my head. I'm like, you little fucking black cocksucker. And I already seen myself throwing the ball at him and hitting him in the head, and the ball bouncing off his head. I had one of those rubber balls in my hand. I had to control myself. Like, I'm like, I'll fucking kill you, little fuck. You hit my daughter again. Because at first, it's hard. You don't know, you know. You don't know. A couple of weeks ago, I was at this other park, and some little fucking kid was spinning. And I'll say shit as I'm with them. Like, I won't say it out loud. You know, like the kid cut my daughter off and he slipped and fell. And I heard him. Eh. I'm like, that's what you get, you little cocksucker, for cutting my daughter off. I didn't say it out loud, but I still said it.
You internalized it.
Yeah, you internalized it. That's what you get, you little fuck. Next time I'm going to kick you in the fucking neck. You cut my daughter off, but you can't kick a kid in the neck. But trust me, I got to get used to this shit. This is going to be an uphill battle for
me. Oh, raising a little daughter is going to be a motherfucker.
Anything. You know. I went to a friend's house that has a child that's a hitter. And there was a couple times
I
almost reached across. I had to catch myself. Like, I had to catch myself because he hit his sister. The sister was on the floor, and he came up and smacked her in the head. She's a baby. This motherfucker just came up and hit her. My original reaction was just to smack. I had to catch myself. And after like 10 minutes, I go, honey, we got to leave. I got in the car. And I was like, what's the matter? I was stressed out sitting there because I wanted to kick that fucking kid because the father wouldn't beat the fuck out of him. That kid needed a fucking beating. But anyway, that's none of my business. You know what I'm saying?
It's okay, Joey.
Yeah, oh, I get freaking pissed off. You got it, you know. It's hysterical, but I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about. What are we talking about, Martin?
Your baby.
Your baby. That's
it.
Yeah,
just warm thoughts.
Yeah, beautiful. Warm thoughts. Me smacking a fucking kid at the park. Little cocksuckers. But I can't wait till she gets to that age because, you know, she's a daughter. You got to push her a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
As a daughter, you want to, you know, I don't want my daughter to take no shit. I want her to.
You want her to be tough.
Yeah,
you want her to be a bad bitch.
Yeah, I
want her
to be.
Yeah, you don't want her to be a bitch, but a bad bitch.
I want her to be a lady, but I want her to know that this comes a time where you have to take off your shoes and go, what, motherfucker?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
look, here's the thing.
Not exactly.
What, motherfucker?
I hate when people raise their kids. Well, I mean, I shouldn't talk about how anybody should raise their kids, but you tell all these little girls that there's a prince coming, and you read them all these stories about the freaking fairy tales, and there's a prince that's going to come to rescue you, and there's no fucking prince coming.
There's no prince.
Me, you, and Gabe, that's who's coming, bro. That's who's out there. I know the fuckers
that
are out
there.
And the prince. I've met a prince or two. Those guys are assholes.
This fucking guy, you hang out with princes and shit. Huh? You go to Abu Dhabi and over there eating hummus, fucking with them and shit. They throw tortilla chips. Let's listen to Mexican music. Oh my God. You bad motherfucker, world traveler and shit. So where are you from originally?
I was born in San Diego, Chula Vista. Grew up in Long Beach.
Okay.
That's where I've lived ever since. I mean, I moved to Burbank.
No. I was born in Harbor City and raised in Wilmington, real close to Long Beach.
Okay, I know where Wilmington is. That's the home of Gilbert Escovel.
Yeah, there you go.
The VFW, the best taco.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many of those VFW shows did you do with Gilbert or even with Rudy?
20 of them. The VFW. Wow. And the only reason why I did them was because of the 50 cent tacos.
Right across the street.
I ain't gonna lie to you.
Flores Meats.
Gordon, yo, man. Yeah. Those are fucking delicious. I remember I brought a black drug dealer with me one time. That's how I roll. He travels with his manager. I used to travel with a drug dealer just in case. You know what I'm saying? Remember the black drug dealer? The big yoke guy, the football player? I took him down with me one time. This guy was fucked. I would take him down even when he was more fucked up because then I could front and he would forget. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me another gram. I'll give it to you tomorrow. What happened last night? I don't know. What did I do with all my coke? I have no idea. You were hanging out with white chicks. You know, you're giving him blow. Meanwhile, I'm taking the blow. He would pass it. Like, I go to his house. Dante, give me a gram. Man, I'm too fucked up. Come on, let's take a ride. I get him in the car with me, and I smoothen him up. On the way down, I'd clip a fucking gram from him. And then we get to Long Beach because he loved those tacos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's Wilmington.
Wilmington. And he'd eat fucking 20 of those tacos. He loved them. And he'd come back, bro, what's going on? I'm doing my blow. I have no idea.
My God. Now, did Gilbert make you work clean when you worked the VFW?
They always try. They always ask.
Dude, you know what? I love it because you always told them to kiss your ass.
Oh, and they always try. He always tries. He always goes, you know, Joey, you got to work a little clean. I mean, he won't invite me to his church fucking services. He puts on one of his pink suits and he goes to the church. You know, one time, dog, I swear to God, I did a Navy base in El Paso, an Army base in El Paso for Ernie G.
Oh, well, Fort Bliss.
Ernie G booked it, and I went with Gilbert. And on the plane, I got, this is one of the funniest stories. I get to the airport, LAX, and Gilbert's already got the orange suit.
That he's going to wear for the show.
The one he's going to wear for the show. It's on him.
Wow.
Dog, do you know that motherfucker had no luggage? He traveled like Oscar Madison. He had socks and a toothbrush. We got to El Paso, and he went right to the gig. I went back and showered. He had his suit on. We did the gig. We were leaving the next day. When I went to knock on his door, he slept with the suit on.
Stop
All
it.
He had to do was put his socks on, brush his hair, brush his teeth, and he was on the fucking plane. He was like fucking Blade. What the? Because only Blade would wear that orange fucking suit. You know what I'm saying? If he was Dracula. He was sleeping with the. I love all that. Oh,
freaking
shit.
In and out.
Bro, how many fucking stories do we have about crazy comedy?
Yeah.
All of us, especially the Latino comedy scene. How fortunate we were that we
especially were thinking how, you know, what level we thought we were at when we were there. Like, oh, it doesn't get better than this. Oh, that's it. That's it. It's the best.
Oh, yeah, you take a road trip to Visalia. You take you're on the road.
You're on the road, man. Yeah. You know, world tour.
Yep.
Ooh, we made it to Fresno.
Fresno.
Ain't Visalia. No stopping us now, man.
Lindsay.
Fucking Madera. What was the best thing about Visalia?
Those Papi Chulo gigs out there in freaking...
Indio. No, yeah. Calexico area.
Calexico, yeah.
Calexico. Sebastian used to have... Remember all those fucking rooms we used to do? Sebastian had... What's the town next to San Diego? Real dark fences everywhere. It's like a suburb of San Diego. You got to go beneath San Diego.
What the heck?
Fucking one night he gave me a gig.
Yuma?
Dark. No. Right in San Diego. It's just right before Mexico. It drops.
San Isidro.
Santacito. Something fucking scary as shit.
He made it sound like a religious figure.
Yeah, right?
It's crazy. Like, we lost Marilyn. You know, we lost Marilyn. We lost a lot of Freddie. But it's funny. Like, even with Martine. One of my favorite Martine stories was when he was booking that fucking room on Wednesday nights, and there was a soldier there, and Martine said something about Bush, and not the band, the president.
Oh, no, this was at Rick Ramos's room.
Rick Ramos's room.
Over in Alhambra.
And it was like green, like they were trying to turn it into like a Hollywood bar, but they didn't know they went
Sapphire.
Alhambra. Fucking Sapphire.
Yeah, that.
But you were hosting.
I don't know what the hell I was
doing. You were
hosting some dude,
and you got into an argument with him, and he goes, "Listen, I'm gonna bring up a comic, and we'll go outside and take care of this shit." And I think he brought me up, and he went out and fought the motherfucker, and came back with his shirt ripped. And I'm like, "Oh my God, I love this motherfucker. This is my type of dude here." And after that, I need your number, dog, because I call them every week. You beat up a dude. That's fucking brilliant. I love it.
Tip
and he went
staff.
Right back on stage.
Tip your staff.
Like a soldier, he went right back on fucking stage.
That's when I was still real ghetto, man.
I can't let him do that in Virginia Beach.
No. You still go to Virginia Beach?
We go everywhere.
No, I know you go everywhere.
But I mean, like, yeah, definitely all the, you know, the Virginias and the D.C. area. I mean, you know, we're going to be there in the next couple weeks.
At this point, where haven't you been? I mean, you're selling tickets all over the world.
Russia.
Russia, Mexico, and South Africa.
But you've been to regular Africa?
No.
Egypt.
Well, I mean, not even regular Africa. I mean, the goal is to perform in South Africa. If we could do regular shows in Africa, I'd be there too.
What, nothing for Africans?
Hey, Joe was over there. Hey, Joe, no Africa?
No lions, no leopards.
No lions, tigers, and bears.
We're gonna be there.
Egypt, shit
South
like
Africa.
That.
We were actually scheduled for Egypt, but it was the same week of the uprising with Mubarak, and yeah. That's one of those. I think we're gonna cancel it.
Now, Portugal, Spain, all that?
Spain,
we've
yes.
done Spain, yeah.
No shit.
Rota Spain.
How were they?
You know, it was a combination of locals and military.
Okay, so it was.
So no, it was cool. You know, the Spanish is a little bit different. They got the lisp, but you know, I get a lot of Twitter followers and Facebook followers from Spain, and they're like, you know, come over here, watch your videos.
And why not Mexico yet?
Man, I'm too paranoid. You know, Martin and I were friends with Santana's security. And he's always telling us, anytime he goes down to Mexico, man, he takes a big security team because, you know, the cartel people and stuff.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, I understand.
They just want to kidnap you.
Yeah, they want to kidnap you and make some money.
You know, it's funny. Like, people are going to Cuba from Mexico now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People go on day trips. How fucking crazy is that?
Day trips?
Yeah, and they won't stamp your passport.
Stamp your passport. They hook it all up and down it. Well, nice. The Cubans are there. There's a Cuban restaurant.
I want to go to Cuba.
There's a Cuban restaurant. You go into Downey. You knock on the table, and somebody comes right over. They tell you where to take the fucking bike in the morning. You go to San Diego. You drive down. I swear to God, I've heard this. You drive down. They take you to Cuba by 6 in the morning, and you're back by 9 o'clock at night.
How much is that?
It's people do it all the time to go visit their relatives. They bring back fucking food.
Do you got to be Cuban to go, or anybody can go?
They're doing it out of Mexico. You're like,
yeah, and if they're not stamping your passport, it doesn't really matter.
They're not stamping your passport. They put a piece of paper in it. If you want it stamped, you stamp it. If you don't, you don't have to stamp it.
People go from Canada, too. I see Canada trips. A lot of Germans vacation in Cuba.
Well, the Canadians and Germans.
Yeah.
But listen, don't believe the hype. Somebody went, a friend of mine went, and they said they saw Washington State apples at the hotel. But we have an embargo. So, you know how life is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know how fucking life is.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Because remember, the hotels,
people, Cubans can't eat at the hotels. Cubans themselves can't go to their own hotels. For a Cuban to go to a hotel, I have to go to a hotel and my sister could come visit me.
You know what? I was reading some about there's a different currency out there. Like,
yes.
They have the currency and then they have a different currency. And the different currency is the tourists use it and the other fucks can't touch it.
Can't touch
it. It's like two different worlds over there.
If they catch you with an American dollar, you do 5 years.
That's crazy.
Really?
American money.
But they got to hustle.
Around.
They get like there's people out there selling newspapers, but all on the
sucking
down low.
Dick.
They're
there's women.
Dude,
big prostitution.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of the Germans, that's why a lot of guys go, older guys get in groups, and they say they're going down there for underwater activity.
Yeah.
They get down there, you know,
that just means they got them really wet.
Yeah. You get some Cuban girl that's 18 for $3.
Oh,
you know, they'll suck you and fuck you till from now till Tuesday. Yeah, that's why they go down there, man. It's fucking crazy. It's really crazy. You know, your boys always go down there. They've been there. In fact, my cousin's band opened up for Ozo Motley.
Oh, okay.
When Ozo Motley, when I did Stand Up Revolution with you guys, I talked to them, and they were telling me about a guy who got them weed. That was my cousin. It's my cousin's band. He's in the National Cuban fucking band. Him and his sister and their parents. Their parents are really my uncles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're my cousins. How fucking crazy is that?
I think it's crazy that there's freaking weed in Cuba. I mean,
they got everything in Cuba.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the punishment? I mean, if you get caught with a dollar and you go 3 years.
Yeah, they'll kill you.
I mean, what the fuck if you get caught with weed?
Cuba, but I heard it's really bad. It's not like what we're getting here. It's just really fucking bad.
It's not worth it. Just take some cookies.
Yeah, take a couple cookies.
Speaking of which, man, I feel like I'm going to eat the microphone.
Are you hungry already?
No, but I'm feeling.
Yeah, yeah, no, this is power, man. This is good. This is. Dog, I don't fuck around. It used to be Chibo Chew, the Green Hornets. They're the best.
Uh-huh.
70 milligrams, but 220 milligrams of CBDs. These cookies are 200 milligrams, and you see the fucking devil.
I love the fact that you had to use your shoulders and all your arms to tear the packaging open, which tells you how strong it's got to be for it to be in that level of packaging.
It's like made in fucking...
That's like to make sure no kids accidentally tear that
open.
No,
and that's what it says. Don't give it to no fucking kids. They'll die.
Keep out of reach of children.
Keep out of reach of children. In big red letters. I don't even eat those cookies in the house. My wife don't want nothing in the house. I got to eat that shit outside. I got to stash it outside like fucking...
How you doing over the Lee?
How you doing, Bubba?
I'm all right. I have 70 milligrams, so I have a few.
Holy shit.
I gave him 100 on the ride to San Diego, and we both got car sick. I had to pull over. And I'm thinking I'm going to die. This is what he didn't see. I got out of the car because I get car sick. I always get car sick. Mm. But this cookie hit me. I ate half the cookie with him, and I popped a Chibo Chew like a fucking savage. And I get to this casino. It's Harrah's. And I got to pull over. I mean, this is terrible.
Doing 90 all the way to San Diego.
Doing 90 the whole fucking way. You know, I don't play games. I get out of the car. I look over. and there was a bouquet of flowers where somebody had died there, you know. Oh. So it took my head somewhere else. Oh, I was like, I'm gonna fucking die. And these were dark roads. It was an Indian reservation. I'm dead. I'm fucking dead.
Did you feel the spirits?
I felt the spirits. I would have used him as a shield. But luckily we made it, but we were so fucked up. And last night I was so fucked up. Last night I ate a whole one of these.
You ate the whole thing?
Oh, I kept calling him. I'm going, Lee, come over. Eat this cookie. I go, your fucking grandmother suffered in Auschwitz for you to eat this cookie. They suffered. They fucking suffered just for you to eat this fucking cookie. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm not going to go over there. I go, my grandmother swam here from Cuba for me to eat this cookie. Your grandmother survived Auschwitz and came over here for you to eat this cookie.
Each time you called, it was a different family member. You're like, your grandfather burned in Auschwitz.
I was so fucking stoned.
And then last night it was the Russians who were going to come and give us edibles. So we were training for that. Now today they're giving us needles.
Yeah,
last night they were giving us edibles.
Yeah, edibles. Bro, I was gone. Even my wife kept looking at me. It's time for you to go to bed. Finally, like at 9:30, I go, maybe I should get a cup of coffee and get this party started. And I go, fuck that. I'm tapping out.
But Joy, doesn't the fucking weed just tap into parts of your brain that are normally dormant, right?
Listen. I'm retarded. I don't know what dormant even means.
Because you know you only use less than 16% of your brain.
Right.
So they say so the other part is just fucking chilling.
Oh, it opens
so
it up.
So when you start doing drugs or hallucinogens, it opens up those other parts of the brain, and now you're living or existing in different realms and looking at things different,
fuck.
Which makes sense.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I ate one of these by myself, and I kept thinking this is the cookie that. Remember the week Casey Kasem was missing?
Nice.
Dog, I kept sitting there. Maybe this is the cookie Casey Kasem made, right? And I'm going, this is what he ate. I'm saying this to myself in the living room, watching Wally Kazam with my daughter. I'm like, dog, this is the cookie Casey Kasem made. This, and all of a sudden, they came with a thing. There's traffic on the 405. The president of Israel's in town. I'm like, oh, shit. That motherfucker knows where these cookies are. I kept saying that to myself. Like, he knows where Casey Kasem is, and he knows where they get the fucking pot cookies. But it don't work out. I love it. I love giggling. You know, you love giggling. You love giggling.
Oh, yeah.
We like having a good time.
I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get home.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. That's fine. There's a Puerto Rican restaurant right down the corner named Mofongo. We can make a pit stop.
Mofongos.
And they got Coco Rico. They got everything just like in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah?
Every big-time Puerto Rican comes up here to eat. They said that
they serve stuff like lechon and then,
all that shit. And then they got a criollo across from, that's where I went with my wife on Sunday. A criollo, Cubano criollo over on Burbank across from Costco.
Mm.
Not bad. You get the pork chunks with the black beans and rice. Solid.
That sounds great.
Everything else, I don't vibe
for. I'm hungry right now.
Lee had the chicken.
The chicken was good.
Lee's had the garlic chicken, the Cuban garlic chicken.
Oh, that's always good.
Before we get off here, I got to talk to you about something. How strong is Chan's Dragon Inn?
Oh, come on.
You know, I grew up in that motherfucker, right?
Oh, shit.
Since I was 15, I've been going to get
those
steak.
Those egg rolls the size of baby arms?
Those are the best fucking egg rolls in the world. You dip it in the mustard, and your nose hairs sift out and shit like that.
That's good stuff.
The food is good, and that bar looks like some shit went down.
Let me tell you.
Deals and things have happened at that bar. Hits have been made at that bar.
Yeah.
Listen to me. We used to go there. You know, in high school, you have driver ed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have driver ed. So the teacher's name was George McGrath. He smoked Camel with no filters. And he had a mustache, and it was orange from smoking Camels. His fingers were orange, and his teeth were orange. So we used to call him Camel Breath, right? Right to his face, Camel Breath, come on. So we'd take over the car. You had to sign up. So you had to sign in for when you wanted driver ed. There was no driver ed with us. He did blow. We had this guy. So we'd get in the fucking car. We were sophomores in high school. We'd get in the car. And we go, where we going? First, we got to stop at the liquor store. Guys, you're going to make me lose my job. God, what the fuck, McGrath? Come on. Let's go get some fucking beers. It's a party. It's a celebration, fellas. You know what I'm saying? All right, get an 8-pack. We got a little 8-pack because they were nips. Nips are 7-ounce beers. Then the next thing, we got to stop at fucking Chan's Drag. Guys, I can't have food in the car. Come on, McGrath, we'll buy you some egg rolls. A fucking steak on a steak. You motherfuckers. And we go to Chan's in high school and get 2 egg rolls in a package. And get steak on a stick, and we'd eat them, and he'd take us back. It was the cars that his side had the brakes on, too.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm talking about? But the best was, it was just me and him alone. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to talk about this guy, because he won't be my friend on Facebook. So fuck him. He's mad because I put a bet in with him, his buddy.
Come on, Camel Breath.
Mr. Palute, and we didn't pay him, so he never wanted to talk to me again. So when I saw he was on Facebook, I hit him up. So me and him, I was like a sophomore in high school in front of Carvel on 38th Street in Union City. I'll never forget that, Doug. And he goes, you got any blow? And I took out a double barrel shotgun. It was a glass with two things that went into your nose with a spoon at the end. So you opened up the baggie and you took the thing and you went like this. And then you just took the two things in your nose and it went in both your... Bro, this is 1981.
Double
right?
barrel shotgun.
Double barrel. And I would always get fucked up and sit on it because it was made out of glass. I had more cuts in my ass than fucking...
And you're afraid of needles.
Oh, my God. It was... I go home, why is my ass hurt? And also the next day, I have a scab on my ass from cutting myself.
Who was your friend you paid the bartender there to karate chop him?
Oh, Roger Holloway. When we were kids, he'd go in there and go... We'd all walk in. The guy's name... The guy was as Chinese as could be, but he had like a white name. So he, when you go in there, how you doing, Gabriel? I said, I thought that, and you go, Charlie. What, his name was like Charlie. He retired.
Are you sure you weren't just calling him Charlie?
No, I don't know what his name is.
Because I can see you doing that.
But I had a friend that when he'd go in there, automatically, he just put his neck down. And my friend my friend would go in, he'd be talking to us, and all of a sudden he'd go, hold on 1 second. Charlie, come in. Charlie would come over and put his neck down, and Roger would go, ha! And karate chop and give him like a 20. Let me get a drink. Give everybody a fucking drink. Here's a 50. Let me karate chop. You're going to karate chop him. Dog, it was the funniest thing in the world.
It was a dude that just let you karate chop
him. Just let him karate chop you. But we go in there. That, now it's not. But if you get on that road, and instead of going straight, you make the right. You're 8 minutes out of the city. Mm-hmm. So I don't care who you went in there with. You go in there with Johnny AA. I haven't had a drink or a taste of Coke in 8 years. You give him a pork chop, like a rib and shit, bro, mm-hmm. and also you put a beer in front of him or a zombie. They had those zombies with the straws that four people could drink.
Right.
Bro, you have a zombie in there, you get the 7 year itch. That place was a parking lot. People would just go back and forth into New York City in the 80s and 90s
wow.
to get cocaine and go back there.
Now, the way that it looks now, is it the same way it looked back then?
Since fucking 1980, it has not changed. Those chairs are the same.
Same chairs.
The art are the same. Everything is the same. In fact, yesterday, I don't know if when you get by, Georgie lives around the corner from my friend's funeral parlor, Veneri. Mm-hmm. Veneri won the assemblyman yesterday in District 8. So you got friends in Jersey, motherfucker. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. You got friends in Jersey now. He won the 8th District fucking freeholder. But I remember going in there with him after Missing Persons.
Went nice.
To see Missing Persons one night. We're all fucked up. And the guy came over and he's like, huh, what can I get you? And I'm like, let me get a neck drop soup. My friend's like, let me get something.
Sounds good.
And he goes, let me get a chicken noodle soup. And I fucking almost killed him. You don't order chicken noodle soup in Chance, motherfucker. But now they got on the menu. They got chicken noodle soup on the menu at Chance now.
But man, those egg rolls, that's what you go for.
The egg
rolls? Those egg rolls.
The pork fried rice is delicious.
I remember
everything in there was delicious.
Yeah.
Fucked up some shit.
Oh, I got a picture. The pork fried rice.
You take pictures of the food too. Sweet.
I take pictures. I got a picture of the fucking egg roll on here. That's how strong I am. I don't fuck around, dog. Yeah, I got a picture of the egg roll somewhere. Look at that.
I think we've eaten there, what, like four times already?
Look at that fucking egg roll.
Oh, that don't even look like an egg roll, dude.
Well, it looks like a. That's a fuck.
That's a rib.
A rib. Whatever the fuck it is. I'm sorry. Egg roll, a rib. I'm fucked up. What do you want?
You can show me a picture of a rib and call it an egg roll. I'm like, come on.
There's the monster.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a big fucking girl. I'm very lucky. What the fuck are we talking about? Egg rolls, Chinese food, Mr. McGrath, Camel Breath. Who gives a fuck?
So everything's good, Joey.
When you were in Burbank, now you said you lived in Burbank. How old were you when you lived in? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school, Long Beach Wilson High School, class of 1994. I lived in Burbank for what, about 7, 8 years ago, Martin?
Oh, more than that.
Actually, no. Yeah, over 10. Yeah, over 10. Yeah. Probably about 11 years ago. My roommate was Rick Gutierrez. Rick Gutierrez and I lived together for 2 years. And then I moved
into
a house.
That's when we started writing scripts.
And
that's,
yeah.
That's before he opened up the studio in San Antonio. I love Rick Gutierrez, by the way. Rick's one of the best dudes out there. After he pukes and shit, he's one of the best dudes out there. I love Rick with all my heart. I miss Rick. I miss seeing Rick around at the club because he was always giving me a laugh, you know? He would always be mad at something. As soon as you walked in, there's no air conditioning here, bro. We gotta straighten these people out. You go talk to them, all right?
He's still mad at something.
He's always mad at somebody.
I love him. He's always, yeah.
He's not mad. He's just a parent.
By the way, can I give a little plug for his special?
What is it?
His special comes out June 14th.
On what?
Nuevo TV, and then it's going to come out on Netflix. All right. It's 1 hour special.
Rick Gutierrez, bad motherfucker. I haven't called in before the thing. He's a good man, Rick Gutierrez. Look who's calling in. Steve motherfucking Simone.
Nah.
Uh-oh. Oh, he's probably shit. Looking at pictures of fucking Holly Riley Reiser jumping up and down with a little cape on right now in his bed. That's crazy motherfucking. One of the sweetest guys in the fucking world. Is he not one of the sweetest guys? Oh, yeah. He's nuts. He's nuts. With his little new haircut.
Kid Steve.
When you were in high school, did you have a dream of fucking doing this shit?
Man, I just wanted. My dream was to finish high school, Joey.
And you too?
I didn't finish high school. I had to go back.
I didn't finish either. Yeah. I quit my senior year like a jerk off.
You got all the way to the end and just bowed out.
I quit September, but then I went back in December. And then I worked double hard, and they told me I was short 3 credits. So I told them to suck my dick. Yeah. I took my GED before I got locked up.
That's so funny. They told me I was missing an English class, and then they let me do 10 book reports and gave me my high school diploma. 10 fucking book reports. I went to the library, got a book of bibliographies, and just copied that shit on, turned it in. I marched. It was a proud moment.
And that was it.
And that was it. And no big shebang, no big fucking nothing.
You finished high school, though.
I finished in the summer.
Okay. Yeah, How about you? Lee fucking was an honor student.
No, I wasn't.
He's a savage. How you feeling over there? You see the devil yet?
It's coming.
Okay, as long as he's coming. When did you fucking think you could do stand-up? What fucking made you one day get up and go?
You know, first time I ever got on stage, I was 10 years old. It was a school talent show after I saw Eddie Murphy Raw. And then I didn't do nothing until I was about 18, 19. And then I started watching Comic View on BET. And there was, every time I'd see these guys, I'm like, oh, my God, I know I'm funnier than this. I haven't done comedy yet, but I know I'm funnier than this. I'm like, really, this is making it to TV? What am I doing in my living room? So watching Comic View is what really pushed me.
And where's the first place you said, I'm going to go down there? And
once I was able to, I mean, everybody wants to play the Laugh Factory. I mean, back then, it was always, the Laugh Factory. There was those shows that they'd have on TV with, like, a Comedy Express, or they'd have a Comic Strip Live from the Laugh Factory. And, it was either Bob Saget hosting or some of these other old-school 80s guys. And I'm like, oh, man, that'd be cool one day to play at the Laugh Factory. And then you hear the other stories of, like, Pryor and Robin Williams and Dave, I can't even think of his name. Yeah, all playing over at the Comedy Store. And so then it was like, oh, I want to play the Comedy Store. And then, you know, when people started talking about working clubs across the country, the Improv's the one that covers the country. There's only one Laugh Factory, one Comedy Store, but the Improv's that's the Starbucks of the comedy clubs, and that's where you want to be. That's where you're going to get paid and make money. The other ones, you're just going to go grind it.
How about you, brother?
When did I know? You know what? I started late, Joey, but I always wanted to do it. I always made my friends laugh. I always made people laugh. And then I always thought, well, I can make people laugh because they know me. What about strangers? You know, and I'd go to comedy shows, and I'd see somebody talk about, like, they do a bit about a dog, right? And I thought, holy shit. Because I used to think they were making it up. I thought it was all improv. I didn't know that they worked out a set.
Me too, that's what I thought.
I thought, holy fuck,
if they do that. They're just that great.
You got to know everything about everything. Like I really thought that you had to be informed on every single topic that they were. I didn't know it was a set. I thought these guys just knows that shit off the top of his head. And I was taking a speech class probably in 99. And every speech I did, I mean, not to sound like a dick, but it was funny. I mean, and I did it mostly because I wanted to keep their attention. I hated people looking at, because when other people did a speech in school, you just start doodling, you look out the window. I'm like, fuck that. I want to keep the attention on me. So I made it funny, and I threw a lot of sexual innuendo in there. I mean, it wasn't crazy, but there was a lot of sexual. I mean, I did a speech on baking cookies, and I made it sound like fucking the oven and like jacking off. Dude, it sounded like you were jacking off, and then you were finally sticking it into the oven. And this dude came up to me, and he's like, I don't know what the hell you're doing in this class, but why aren't you doing comedy? And I said, dude, I make you laugh because you know me. He goes, no. I go to comedy clubs regularly. He goes, you made me laugh every single week. He goes, and you're not a comedian. He goes, everything you said was funny. He goes, I don't know what you're doing with your life or why you're in school right now, what you're trying to do, but you were supposed to be a comic. And I was like, what the f-? And it just like, and I always.
You were in the service, right?
I was in the Marines for like 2 months.
Okay. And then you said, fuck that.
He's flat-footed.
Well, no, my foot. I have an extra bone on my foot. I'm double-jointed. I salute. I look like I was fucking around. But I can't put my hands straight. So he thought I was fucking with him. And it was just a nightmare, bro.
You would think with an extra bone, man, that'd be kind of like an advantage in the military.
Yeah.
This like guy's got extra bones, man. He could fire two pistols if he's got double, you know, with that hand. But no, they got the boot. I didn't do nothing special. I barely finished high school. Went to school at Long Beach City College.
Wow.
Half a semester. I took that free money that they gave me, bought a stereo and a car, and then just said, I took the student loan.
Remember when they told you could get money? Like, that's what happened to me. When I
got that check in the mail, I'm like, shit.
And then they said it's a loan, you got to pay it back. Fuck you. I'll pay when I got. So all you had to do was stay in school for 6 credits a semester. You have to pay the loan back. I was like, fuck, I could do this till I'm 90. I'll never pay these fucking loans back. Well, you know what, bro? I paid all the loans back except the last one. I just paid it off last year.
Wow.
They came back 20 years later. I thought I was out of the weeds.
Yeah, I thought, you know, after 7 years, you were good, but no.
No, they came back. They'll hunt you down. They wanted 9. I think I got them down to 4, and they went away. So what are you going to do? But you pay for all your fucking sins, bro. They don't fuck around.
Yeah, no,
when they show up? When you buy a house. Yeah. That's when the school
people show
up. You run a
credit check, something happens. They're going to find you.
You know, bro, I'm a fucking crazy guy. You've known me a long time.
I have known you for
Joe knows
quite some
me.
Time.
Martin knows me. I'm a crazy guy. And I love doing this podcast. When Lee and I started doing this podcast, I wanted it to be funny. But I wasn't going to sit up at night and write jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose of this podcast was that, for me, bro, they always put things out of context when you're growing up. Especially for guys that are Spanish or black or Chinese or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like, and I came from fucking Cuba. I didn't know no English. One thing, and then I was very insecure because of that. And then my parents did numbers. You know, they were in the numbers operation. They made money. Plus, they went to Santeria. So now, beside worrying about my language, I was insecure about that they were going to find out my mother had a bar and that people got stabbed there. And then when my stepfather shot a dude when I was 8 on 148th Street, I was part of the Adams family. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. For Latinos. So I've had all these insecurities. This podcast is a funny podcast. I like to have a good time. But this podcast is to let people know, dog, that you can do whatever the fuck you want. And if you're not living proof of that.
Thank you.
That's why I wanted you guys to come on here. That was the main reason. Because a lot of comedians, young comics from the Valley, little Mexican dudes. You know, it's like when we showed up with those kids last year, Felicia's kids. A lot of kids look up to you. They see you on Comedy Central, Gabriel, and they see what you're doing. And when they find that I'm a comic, they come over and they start making fucking noises and pling and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, look at these fucking little Gabriels, you know? You know, when you meet these drunk idiots at a bar and they all want to be Doug Stanhope, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But when you meet these young kids and they all tell you, you know, when I was 8, I thought I wanted to be a fireman, right? When you're 8, you got 2 choices, a cowboy.
And fireman.
If I tell you what I really wanted to be when I was, like, for 2 years, you guys are going to die. I wanted to be fucking Mexican.
Stop it.
But not you Mexican motherfuckers. I wanted
you wanted
to
like that Pancho Villa. You wanted
with
the bandoleros
poncho,
and everything. Yeah, yeah.
With the bullets. I wanted an uncle like that. Like I kept saying to my mom, don't we have an uncle down there in Mexico that I could go live with? Because that's what I really wanted to be. I wanted to be a Mexican with the fucking things. Because you never know when I was 10.
We don't need no stinking badges.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking fucking. You know, when I watched Zoot Suit, I lost my mind. I heard a couple of years ago they were thinking of remaking it, and I was like blocking
that
shit.
You can't, no.
You can't remake that. Even James Edward Olmos was like, dog, please, I will shoot you motherfuckers up. You understand me? But it's really weird, all jokes aside, that you have done that. You've let a bunch of people know that you could do things, man.
It is possible. I mean, as a kid, first of all, I grew up with just my mom. My dad was into the picture. We were on welfare and Section 8. We were living in not the greatest part of Long Beach. It's right on the border of the East and the West, which was really interesting when the gangs would meet because, you know, they would basically duke it out right there in that neighborhood. You know, that's always East Side, West Side, and then, you know, that was it right there on that line, on Henderson in the city of Long Beach. And my mom and I, we lived there for about 14 years, and then finally we got approved for Section 8, and we were able to get a better house. Well, better place to live, not a house.
And your father recently showed up.
My father recently showed up.
He showed up like Rene Garcia, one of those gigs. I didn't know they did comedy here. You know what I'm saying? There's a couple comics.
Oh, you mean Sandoval, right?
Rene Garcia's from Houston. I'm sorry, that's my dog. There's a little comedian, a Mexican comedian. Dog.
The guy that Mike Robles was grooming, I guess. He's got glasses, right?
Yeah, you could be doing a show in Alaska, and he'll come in and look around. He always comes in. Bro, I didn't know you were here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know you were here. I didn't even know they did comedy in this motherfucker. I just happened to walk in to use the phone. I heard your voice. And you're like, really? Just like that? You know what I'm saying?
Meanwhile, his phone has everybody's app on it.
Right. Everybody. You know, it's crazy. There's always these comics that whenever you do in a room, they just show up. They're in the same town and shit.
But yeah, that's what my dad did. He showed up and I thought it was going to get weird. I thought he was going to ask for money. I thought it was going to get like uncomfortable. And he turned out to be okay. He just wanted to let me know I had a couple of sisters in Mexico and that you know, he was around and if I had any questions.
And you're tight with him now? Very.
We're not tight. But you we'll communicate. It's rare, but you know, we do. It's a lot better than it was before.
Right. He checks in on you. You check
in
on him.
He checks in.
You don't check in. Not yet. You can't.
It's still too. You know. And then since my mom passed, then it's been a little bit. You know, I pushed it back even further because now it feels awkward to talk to my dad after my mom. You know.
It's fucking rough, family, huh? Yeah. Family's a motherfucker sometimes.
I don't really deal with anybody anymore. I mean, I got one sister that I really talk to, and her daughter, my niece, and that's about it as far as family's concerned. I don't talk to my brother anymore, my mother's sisters. You know, everyone's estranged. We're just kind of like, that's it. They're, you know, people say that I changed, but I'm like, nah, did I change or did you change? You know, and then, like I said, since my mom's passing, that's when everything was like, okay, you know, we were all doing this for her. And now that she's not here,
we don't have to bullshit each other
no
more.
No.
Wow.
It's amazing. You have the same problem too?
You know, I'm just having like a total weed moment right now.
Okay, so, I'll leave you alone.
I'm going to tell you. No. This is a good thing. You mentioned where Gabe came from. You talk about where you came from. I didn't come from a great neighborhood. Why us? What? No. Seriously, because you said, you know, all these kids are getting hope and stuff. How the fuck did we get out? Why were we so lucky, so fortunate? Because there's people that I grew up with that are like, you know.
Or more driven or
just. They're
stuck.
Well, you know what? They're stuck. But Joey, it's like some people, it's like, I love, you know, where I came from. It taught me a lot, you know. But it is a gang area. It's a gang, you know, place. And people are real proud of you know. Gang-related stuff.
Well, Martin and I always used to do this thing. It's that line we always say. That's all I know, bro.
That's all I know.
And
it's from Boulevard Nights, the first freaking Cholo movie ever, bro. Boulevard Nights. Yeah. So anyway,
proud of the
this
fact.
Dude, this dude. They didn't even have Mexicans playing the gang members on Boulevard Nights, and this dude looked up and he goes, "That's all. When you run car, your barrio, you're a chavala. That's all I know." And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, this motherfucker, that's all you fucking know. There's
and
a
he's
lot
proud
of shit
it.
To know. There's a lot of shit to know.
It's like watching Gangland. You ever stuck in a hotel on a Friday morning? Any town. You start watching Gangland, you listen to those people speak, and you're like, that could have been us.
Yeah, it very well could have been us.
That could have been me.
I see people, I see my you know, relatives of friends, like people that I grew up with, real close to them, and I see how they, what the fuck they're spelling, how they're spelling on Facebook, first of all. And some of the shit that people are saying, and you're like, holy fucking balls. Like, you know, I talk a lot of shit on Twitter. You know, I'm talking about coming on faces and do whatever the fuck it is. He does. They're probably looking at me like I'm a crazy fuck. But I'm looking at them like, fucking, I mean, at least I'm enjoying my fucking life. What the fuck?
At least I got a fucking dictionary.
You know? Yeah, dude, it drives me crazy, but it's like we're no different, but how did we get to, because, dude, it was crazy where you grew up. It was insane where Fluffy grew up. You didn't have a dad. He didn't have a dad. My dad was loaded half the time or most of the time, but we still managed to fucking, you know, come out okay. Some people come out okay, and some people get trapped. What is it, Joey? That's the moment I was having.
And also the level of opportunities that are available back, especially, you know, back then.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it is. It's crazy, you know, how us and why us.
Yeah. Dog, for me, I've been trying to figure out this question I finally got, and I'm going to tell you guys the truth, what it is. You know, I tell stories. I tell stories about waking up next to a piece of dog shit and doing coke all night. You know, for years, you know, it was food, coke, and whatever the fuck I was doing for 30 years. But I tell you, whenever I got really down, I would always go back to my mother. And I would always answer like, well, she didn't come from Cuba for me to be doing this. And how would she feel today?
Wow.
How would she feel today if she knew what I was fucking doing, you know? If she was looking down, you know? And that always
So the mother figure is the biggest influence.
Anything, bro. I just had this thing inside of me that this was not going to happen to me. I can't let this happen to me. I went to prison.
I don't want
to
let
her
down.
Put the suit on. I was a fucking bagel chef in prison. And I almost blew up the thing one day, so they made me the stock clerk. And, you know, guys, you know, I was in there. And once you had, listen, I had a guy at gunpoint begging me for his life when he had handcuffs on. Do you understand me, bro? When I went out to that car, I didn't know what to feel, but I know this was not what I wanted to do. And one day you make a decision, and you look at your cousins or your friends from the neighborhood, and you go, you know what? I might not want to be a fucking doctor, but I know I don't want to be one of these motherfuckers, as bad as that sounds. That's how I looked at it. I just know the people I didn't want to be like. Like, that's it. This is not what I want to be.
And not just, everybody in there is crazy. Or
no, right. No, 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 no,
not
no,
all
no,
of them. But,
no,
but
no,
there's, but
no.
there's that handful of people that are just like, holy shit, you're never going to get it. You're never going to get it.
And people get stuck in their lives, and they look at from a different perspective. Yeah. You know, bro, people look at us and go, do you remember when you were first starting Fluffy? Your first 3 years and you were broke? And people look at you and go, what the fuck is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. You know, what the fuck was wrong with us? You're right. What made you get up one morning
I mean,
and say, for 5 years, I'm going to fucking starve?
Yeah.
Because we all in this room have one thing.
Sacrifice.
We all starve for five fucking years doing this. You've seen it, Joe. You've seen it. You know, you fucking starve doing this. You go from hand to mouth for a couple weeks or...
Then Sebastian takes away $25
right,
and he fucking promised you $50, but Shank
Rudy,
shows up.
Rudy dude, gets you.
I told him that at the Christmas party 1 year. I think he got mad at me. I was all loaded. I said, fuck you, Sebastian. Like, I remember driving out to Chino. You told me you were going to give me $50. You know, I had a big-ass truck, bro. A fucking eight-cylinder fucking truck. I was driving to Chino in from Carson. This motherfucker gave me $25. My cell phone got disconnected. Bro, I'm fucking 30 years old going through that shit.
Please.
What the fuck?
Bro, I didn't get into comedy until I was 30.
Yeah.
30? So at 35, I was dying. You know what I felt like at 35? I was fucking dying. I had abandoned every credit card again.
Yeah, going
every
through
time,
every, all your
every
resources.
Every time you take a fucking student loan, they send you another card. I had Discover card. Oh, I had those bitches on the ropes, Jack. I had those because they used to send you checks. In those days, they would send you a card and a check. But on a Saturday and Sunday at the bank, they couldn't check. They couldn't cash. They couldn't check the checks.
Oh, to see if they were legit.
Yeah. So even if you were over the limit, I'd be at fucking the hub on Saturday night, cat banging those motherfuckers out every Monday morning, 9:01, Mr. Diaz. Bring that check back immediately right now. Fuck you. That thing is gone. That thing is gone. Gone. Don't call back here. And next Monday, they call again. Did you cash? Because they gave me like four of those. I held on to one. I figured out, as a comic, how to get cash advances off American Express. I would have to borrow $5 from you to get gas and go to a casino in Colorado.
Mm.
And then the guy would call in, because casinos always get you bump, cash, whatever the... If you need money, watch a casino go to work, motherfucker.
Yeah.
If you got $30 on there, they'll get $27.50 for you. Those casino bitches, they don't fuck around, Jack. So, no, it's very, I always think about it every day, how fortunate. And I know that you didn't come from no fucking wealthy family.
No.
Nobody pushed you. I know you didn't. I know Lee didn't. I know my parents had money when I was growing up. When my mother died, I got the plug pulled on me. And that's almost the same thing. It's even worse. Having it, you know, going from having your own room,
having
with your own TV, your own cable box,
your own
air conditioner, your own carpet. My mother would bring up the food to me like a prince, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
To share in a room with two dudes farting, scratching their nuts, no air conditioner, a fucking dog, you know. It was, when my mother died, I sat there and I was waiting for the fucking, who would offer me the house, like, you know, so, but it's just imagine... Fluff.
Because statistically, we're not supposed to be here.
No,
I mean,
no,
this is just,
no.
Hell no. Not even close.
Mm-mm. Broken homes, living in bad areas, on the welfare, just, you know, barely getting by.
I mean, and I was freaking doing drugs when I was a kid. I was a kid. I was 13 the first time I got stoned. Which, you know, I think that might have helped.
No, it helps because it opens up.
Yeah, it opens up that fucking part of the brain that's usually sleeping.
And you start scamming. You start figuring out, how can I smoke
pot? What kind
of... Did you smoke pot when you were young, Gabriel?
I did.
Did you like it?
You know what? For the time, it worked out for me. It did, because I was stressed out a lot. And, I mean, it just... I had no responsibilities. I didn't have a family to worry about. I didn't have a son. I didn't have pets. There was nothing. It was just me. You know? And it was, I wasn't drinking. So that was my release.
You're not a drinker?
No.
Now you are.
Yeah, but I don't smoke.
No more. That's it. It's over. No more.
I got to save the throat.
No, that's the mama. That's
the moneymaker.
That's the envelope.
Right, yeah, here. That's the envelope.
And now you got this movie coming out, which is, this is The Plateau. And this was taped.
We did this earlier this year.
February 28th.
At the SAP Arena across the street from the Improv, Catty Corner.
San Jose.
No shit. San Jose. Shit.
Yeah, where the Sharks play.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, it's...
It looks fucking beautiful.
It was a lot of fun to make, and I was excited. I mean, just because, you know, I was telling Martin, I go, I think it's legit to say that it's the first time a Latino's been put in a platform like that as far as a comedian's concerned, to be given that level of stage and an opportunity.
So, that's amazing.
Like, for me, I just wanted to make sure it looked the best, and it was the best stuff that I could put out.
And what do you feel? Like, did you... Like, again, did you ever... When we were fucking around doing K Locos.
Oh, God. With Mike Robles.
Yeah, but you think of a show like that. Listen, when we move to this town, what's when you sit down with your manager, what do they say to you? You're going to get good at comedy. I'm going to put you in comedy rooms. You're going to either get a deal. You're going to get put on a show. You're going to do Letterman and Leno.
Yeah. That was the plan back then. If you're a manager, that's all you needed to do. I'll get you on Letterman, or I'll get you on Leno. Let's get you a development deal. If nothing else, let's just get some money for that. You know, try to get you a sitcom.
But K-Locos opened up a door for you.
K-Locos was a cable show that ran, I want to say, 5 years maybe?
Yes.
It was produced by a comedian named Mike Robles, who, you know, I give him his dues. He put me on that show. Yeah, he put me on that show, and he highlighted me every chance he could in commercials and, you know, all the different ads that they had. And so I owe him quite a bit. That show, plus the fact that if you have a show that they're running basically, every five, six hours?
Yeah.
They were rerunning it during the day and rerunning it at night.
No matter how many times they played it, people watched it, though. Every time you were on, if you cruised by your TV and you saw it, you would stay tuned. People would watch it.
Yeah,
they
because there was no DVRs or nothing then. So if there's a comedy show and you liked it, you sat there and you stuck with it and you watched it.
Yeah.
And of course, they're running the 20 commercials in between for the tours.
People
and
would
stuff.
Get together in people's houses to watch Que Locos. Yeah. I mean, it was an event to watch Que Locos. I think it was big. I mean, because it really did put a lot of people's faces up.
But you
I
think don't, about
I mean,
it.
Was George? I mean, George was.
And George, because of Que Locos,
because
George
of Que Locos,
became,
right?
Yeah. Again, yeah. For those of you that don't know, Que Locos was a stand-up comedy show on the Galavision network a few years back. And that show's the one that definitely put me on the map.
It opened
a door.
Georgia.
Yeah.
But it also, you were the fucking real star of that show. Thinking back how it went down, how the commercials ran, how the marketing ran, and they kept running you. It was something that I remember just hearing fucking Gabriel Gay, and I go, wow, it's amazing.
You know,
because everybody thinks The Tonight Show. You guys do the fucking Tonight Show.
And I did The Tonight Show about 7 times.
Before that?
No, after.
No. Well, that's what I'm saying. That was the first thing that really, and think about it, it got you, when you did The Tonight Show, it was easy.
What I think was amazing is that it was on a Spanish-speaking station, but it was in English, and so everybody tuned, it was something cool that people could tune into, but it was weird because I would typically never watch that station. Unless that show was on. Yeah, but but I knew that it was on that station. So regardless of how remote, because a lot of people will think, oh, well, that station doesn't get enough attention. No, if it's a good product, people will fucking go to it.
Is Galavision still on?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't even know if it is. Because I know they got, it's obviously Telemundo, Univision. They got the Mundos Network. They got, what's the new one? Nuvo. Nuvo's the new one. Yeah. Nuvo is the... is the new CTV. CTV it turned into Nuvo.
Nuvo.
Yeah.
Without the Man of Steel.
Without the Man of Steel.
Lee, what's going on, you bad motherfucker over there?
It's part of Univision, I guess.
Is it part of Univision? Lee, his fiance, is a Mexican woman.
Yeah.
Beautiful Mexican girl, goes to USC Law School, so he's living the dream right now. He's eating enchiladas on Sundays. When I met Lee, he was a smooth 120 pounds. Look at him now. That's what happens. When he got a call, you got to hear his voice when he's calling me to tell me how she gave him a care package. Because a Mexican mom will hook your ass up. You know what I'm saying? And they give him a little extra more because he's the white kid, so they give him a little.
Well, just crazy listening to you guys talk because She is in Englewood. It's like where they film Training Day. And just...
That's where she lives?
Yeah. And I go down there every week, and like apparently they recognize me now because I kind of stand out a little bit in Englewood. And it's it's just crazy because we're trying to get her to move out now. And she's the mom's a little bit weary because like the mom's like 60 years old and everyone knows her there and she can walk to the stores.
It's her home.
Yeah.
Lee, but it's
like
home.
It's weird like coming from where I came from, like you think, oh, you want to get out of there, but like at a certain point maybe you don't. Like I'm kind of worried about them moving up here because like maybe she doesn't want to move out of there. Like it's like they found a guy rotting in a car at the El Super parking lot last week. And that's the supermarket they go to.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And the guy was rotting in the car.
He'd been in there that long.
They said he could have been up in there for up to a month.
Nobody noticed the fucking car.
No, they didn't notice until it started stinking.
When did this happen?
Last week.
See, now that's news.
No, and it's just, but it's, and it's crazy how you won't go to Mexico, because her mom did the, she did like the illegal coming in the backs of cars things. She left a kid there, but she won't go back.
Mm-mm.
She has a sister who comes up every 6 months to see them, to see her, but she won't go.
No.
It's,
I'm all right.
Yeah. It's just crazy thinking about that. And then, yeah, the food's
I went a
crazy,
lot as a kid.
I'm fucking scared now. Now you're scared. That was my dream for years. I always thought I could find refuge.
Well, you know, if you want to go to, like, Cancun, you're okay.
But they sell coke on the beach now. It's one of those places where you go, they're selling coke and weed on the fucking beach now, bro.
But they do that in Puerto Rico.
They do?
I mean...
Did you see that? I know, it's funny you said that, because the other
that
day...
That explains Martin on a jet ski.
Yeah.
I don't cover that shit
the
no
other
more.
Day, they said they got 14 tons of coke going into Puerto Rico. And I said, I wonder who the fuck is snorting all that coke in Puerto Rico. And you just told me this, the people on the beach. So it's tremendous. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to go to the beach. I never went to
Puerto Rico. Actually, beautiful.
Puerto Rico's beautiful. I fucking grew up there.
You know what? Puerto Rico has
I
that
I used to go every fucking summer.
That every town should have. It's an area where nobody fucks with you. Like, you go down there, and that's where they have the drugs, per se. And so if you want to get them, you go down there, and you go in there at your own fucking risk. That's what... But if every
it's funny, you sound Puerto Rican the way you said
no,
that.
No, but if every
if you want to get them, you go down there.
But if every town had that, a place where they just turn away, they don't know that it's happening, they do that. If every town had that, then people would fucking behave. If you knew that you could go down there to unleash, you know? It's like the Chinese got it all figured out, bro. They're fucking all prim and proper, but then when the lights go down, they have all these fucking whorehouses. These guys go over there, they tear it up, they get fucking rubbed wherever they want to get rubbed, and everybody's happy.
Where's this at?
All over the... Come on, man. You go to fucking Thailand, you go to Singapore.
Oh, okay, in those countries. Yeah. I don't got no passport. I got felons. Nah. And I got a warrant. They don't let me go nowhere. Nowhere. I can't go fucking nowhere.
Bro, you go to Singapore in the daytime, you can't chew gum on the street. You can't chew gum on the street. You get busted for chewing gum on the fucking
chewing
street.
Chewing gum.
You gotta have your shit together. There's cameras everywhere, right? But there's an area in town where you can go and do whatever the fuck you want and nobody's gonna fuck
it's called Englewood.
You know? Yeah.
That's what it's called. You go down there, you can die in a car in a restaurant.
No, no one will know.
Nobody will fucking
You'll
know.
You're cooking your own car.
Now, how long? Are you married now?
Now, but when, hey, no. I don't like the
she's
title.
She's beautiful.
I don't like the title.
She's
yeah,
beautiful. We're she's together. Beautiful. All right, she's beautiful. You're lucky. You married?
No.
You gave that fucking shit up.
Right?
That's it.
We tried it twice, bro.
Joey,
he dragged me to the second one.
Remember that?
He made me perform the ceremony.
Yeah, they started
I
the night
become,
at the
I had to become a
you gotta get certified. They started a corporation together. They were selling shirts. Also, when they called them dog, it's tough being marriage. It's done.
Joey, I forgot where the fuck I went. I think when I went to Puerto Rico, he called me up. He goes, hey, I heard you found a wife in Puerto Rico. You're not coming back. You don't want to grow old alone. He's clowning me on all this shit. Every time he saw me, as soon as I got
divorced. Because that's what he told me. They want to die alone. Just fuck them and kill them.
He was going to.
You know what I'm going to tell you? I don't know what to tell you. You don't have to die alone. What do you want to do? You know? Nobody wants to die alone, but, you know. What was he telling
you? Yeah, he was going through that phase. And we all knew. I told him, don't do it, bro. Don't do it.
There's some people who could get married and cut the... I couldn't do it at 20. Mm. I tried it when I was a young man. I failed at it. Now, when you get old, you got nothing to lose. You're like, fuck, I don't want to sling dick no more. I'm just tired. I already had chlamydia. I got a blister under my tongue. I get married now. For years, I had a blister under my tongue. Every night when I ate pussy, I just popped it in the morning. That's it. I didn't know what was in there. Hairs, pussy. Some chick came in my face one time, and I always got that blister. I didn't give a fuck how I got it. I don't give a fuck. I wouldn't go to Dr. Sifford. I didn't go. I swear to God. You ever have a chick, her pussy explodes in your mouth? It's tremendous. You don't know what's even happening. Then I would just go over there and tell her, listen, I'm just going to eat your pussy and finger bang it. I want you to come in my mouth. And they would just shoot. And I just... I was like a kid in a water fountain. And I loved it. I loved when she came in my face. I loved it. It's tremendous. But then I got that blister under my tongue. I didn't know what it was from, but I ain't going to tell
you. Hey, you got a hell of a memory, though, bro.
Doug, that was a long time ago. You always remember all your sex.
Does it keep coming out?
No, not anymore. No, that was 20 years ago. I was eating that chick. I don't even know where she is. I tried looking for her on Facebook like a year ago. You ever think of a name when you're driving? You're driving on the 405, you think of a chick that stuck a tongue up your ass, and you're like, that filthy bitch. And then you try for like a week, you can't think of her name. And you're on Facebook putting her first name in, you're sitting there. Like, that is, I'm gonna figure this puzzle out. And then one day when you least expect it, you fucking think of the name. Oh my God, it just comes to you. And you go home and you type her in, and she's done. Like, she's done. Like, you can tell she's been through the gamut. Nah, that's it. She's done. She got three kids. They're all different nationalities. She's got a tattoo on her neck. I love it.
The years were rough.
Oh, my God. It's fucking hysterical. Oh, yeah. It's fucking craziness. Martine, are you in this film?
You know what? I do a little cameo on the film. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Do we have a lot of behind the scenes in this? Is it really?
There's a film up front. There's a film about a 6-minute movie that plays it before I hit the stage. It kind of tells a story about how my mom and dad met. Okay. And there's certain people that get to play certain characters in that sequence.
It's a great.
Yeah, I got. I'll tell you. Watch. As far as comics go, I got Martin in it. Alfred Robles is in it. Rick Gutierrez is in it. Armando Cosillo's in it. Tommy Chong is in it. Ron White is in it.
Gina Brion.
Gina Brion. How many comics was that?
Shit, that's at least 8.
What about Ivan?
Yeah, Ivan. Ivan didn't want to be in the movie.
Ivan don't got a cameo.
Don't got a cameo.
You throw him a SAG card. He gets insurance. He get level 2 insurance now.
I want to get him insurance.
He wants a SAG card. Some people call it a SAG card. You know,
just to pull it out.
Just to pull it out. I got a SAG card and shit. It don't get you thick and shit. All right, so after the movie comes out, what's next?
Well, I guess it depends how the movie turns out, but I'm already scheduled to do...
The movie's going to be fucking great, bro. The movie's going to be great. You have fans all over the world. You know, 20 years ago, I go see all these comics, and there was maybe 2 comics that when you left there, you felt really good. It was like you did a drug. You know, one was Pablo Francisco years ago. Mm. You know, years ago, 20 years ago. When you went to see Pablo, you left there and your fucking head was buzzing. He'd be making noises and jumping up and down and turning purple. You don't know what the fuck is going on.
Doing Tortilla Boy.
Doing Tortilla Boy and all that shit. The Seinfeld in Spanish. Mm-hmm. When I first went to the Laugh Factory, I came to showcase for CTV, for the Latino Laugh Festival in 1996. Mm-hmm. And I saw Pablo up there doing the cast of Seinfeld in Spanish. And I almost ran out of there. Like, I'm like, I'm coming down here with pussy jokes. You fucking crazy. This is talent, you know? But that's what you've become. When people go see you, bro, Fluff, they leave there and it's like they know you, like they hug you. You're the guy they want to feed. You're the guy they want to, you know? It's amazing what you've done. And yes, you've reached the highest for Latino comics. It's a fucking, it's, you know.
Joey, you know what's crazy? Is that leaving the show, I'm out there when the people are leaving. It's like they're leaving Disneyland.
Yeah,
you think you go to a comedy show. You think you just left Disneyland. And it's, you know, and it's funny because it's like, you know, you mentioned Latino comic, but holy shit, I mean, as far as a comic period, just, it's huge. It's fucking big. It's big props, bro.
Thank you.
Like I said, when I see different kids, you know, I got to go to all these kid things now. And my wife will say, hey, you know, he's a stand-up. Well, my wife will tell the lady, and then the lady will go, he's a stand-up comic. And right away, the first person they ask me to, you know, fucking Fluffy.
Yeah.
And I'll sit, and then they start, you know, jumping and whatever. And I'm like thinking of myself imitating Richard Pryor when I was 10. Like, I was imitating
you were watching Richard comic. Pryor at 10?
Dog, I went to a kid's house that was Puerto Rican. We used to play basketball. And he had a brother who was a junkie. And we had, like, the Beatles on. You know, like, when you listen to the Beatles, when you tell, like, this is jamming. And this motherfucker was sleeping, drooling with heroin. And he's like, what the fuck you little motherfuckers listening to? And we're like, the Beatles. We thought we were cool. And he goes, turn that shit off. And he put on Richard Pryor, The Nigger's Crazy. When Richard Pryor meets Dracula. Mm-hmm. And my head almost blew up, bro. It almost blew up as an American, as a Cuban, as a young boy. You know, hey, man, what's that? What's that dirt on the back of your neck? You a filthy little motherfucker, too. All that shit almost made my head blow up at that age. I know it backwards and forwards. This time in the mornings, I'm getting dressed, and I'll put that on YouTube, and I'll break into tears.
Wow.
Because that's my childhood. That's what you're going to do for these kids, bro. 20 years from now, they're going to listen to this and go, wow, this is the guy I listened to. Well, this is the guy that inspired me to do comedy. You know, my hats go off to you, bro. Plus, I got to tell you a story real quick. Do you know how me and Lee met? Do you have any fucking idea?
No.
You think I just met Lee? Yeah. This is the nicest.
I didn't even know you knew him.
This is the nicest.
I thought he was just a guy that worked the
This
buttons.
Is one of the nicest fucking people you ever meet. One of the nicest Jewish fucking people you ever meet. He's the real deal. He eats bagels. Fuck! That's my brother right there. That's my little fucking Cuban Jew brother. So, I got nothing going on in my life. I go over to this fucking car dealership. Right down the corner where you guys both passed. The mm-hmm. Ford, not the Nissan across the street. The Ford.
The Ford.
I go in there and I tell them I want to sell cars. And they say to me, what are you talking about? I go, I want to sell cars. One guy comes over and goes, dog, weren't you in the longest yard? I go, yeah. He goes, what are you doing here? I go, I want to sell cars. I'm going to apply for a job. I had a plan. I moved to the Valley. I didn't want to go back on the road no more. I just didn't want to go on the road no more. I just wanted to do movies, and I was going to do comedy locally, and I was just going to live in the Valley and kill this motherfucker out. I wasn't doing coke no more. I hadn't been doing coke about 3 years. I was just smoking pot. I had just lost the weight. I would walk around every morning, and that's what made me go into the fucking Ford dealer. And they said, you know what? We'll give you a job. You got to pass the drug test. Boom, I got a call one day that you're doing Stand Up Revolution. They tell me that I failed the piss test, which I knew going in. And I don't know nobody who's clean. So it's like, you know, in the old days, you could have somebody piss for you and whatever. I do Stand Up Revolution. You're very nice to us. You give us a bag. You give us a fucking camera, a bloggy. I don't know what I'm going to do with this fucking bloggy. I thought that if you pressed it, it went right to YouTube. Nah, now I got to download this shit. I don't know. And this poor kid hits me up on Facebook, and he says, I'm an editor. And I'm looking for shit to do. So I said, listen, how about I get a camera and I'll tape the bloggy during the week and I'll see you Mondays and I'll give you $100 a week and you edit it for me. And we put the tapes up on YouTube and that became Mad Flavors World. And from there we shot a documentary, which we were going to shoot with the fucking bloggy. Until this day, we still have the bloggy we just shot in fucking August. So all this is because of you, in a way, because wow. I wanted to do something with that camera. People had given me cameras before. And I kept saying, I'm going to do YouTube videos. I'm going to do this. I wouldn't do nothing with them. I wouldn't fucking do nothing with them. And finally, I go, this kid gave me the best luck in the world. This kid's on fire. It didn't take a fucking genius to know you were on fire. I wanted to do something with this energy. I met him, and this is how this whole thing started. He talked me into the podcast. We did a documentary. You saw the documentary
well, yeah.
with my mother. That was him. That was this fucking lunatic. We took a plane to New York. I got him the chance. He bumped into people that I stabbed. It was fucking tremendous.
Giving me banana bread at the entire shoot.
I gave banana bread the entire shoot. I had them all fucked up. So this is the energy that you spread. I don't know if you knew this story.
No, I had
so
no
from
idea.
That fucking bloggy, which we still have. It's got dents in it, bumps. I will never give that up. They're going to bury me. That's going to be in my suit pocket on the right. I still got that fucking bloggy.
Wow.
And that was your energy, this whole podcast, because from there I was still doing the podcast with Felicia, but this whole thing, he's the one that said, you got to do a morning podcast, blah, 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 blah. And this is how this started, brother. So
that's amazing.
I'm happy, bro, that you called me today. Amazing. I know you got other shit to do. I'm very happy you just dropped in and said hello and spread and brought my other brother with you, this fucking savage. And I'm proud of him, you know. I got a call a couple weeks ago. An agent's going to sign him and shit. He's a fucking animal, you know. He's got shit going on.
He's got a hair deal.
No. Every time I see him, he's got a new hairdo. I thought it was, he's Mexican. What is it? Iron Maiden.
Eddie Snyder.
Run to the fucking hills. Remember? Run. Is that him? Run to the hills?
Yeah, that's Iron Maiden.
That's the first album without Paul Di'Anno.
Yeah.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? You see what Paul Di'Anno looks like now?
No.
He's bigger than me. Bald.
Are you serious?
He's still fucking old Red Child on acoustic. Hit it on YouTube. It's
fucking
hard.
Paul Di'Anno.
Who the fuck do you think you're doing?
Bruce Dickinson was a fucking genius. When he saw Iron Maiden, he said, these motherfuckers can go to the top, but that's not the guy to take them to the top.
That's amazing.
He goes, I can take them to the top. He punked himself into the band and took Bruce Dickinson was a bad motherfucker because everybody says Iron Maiden with Paul Di'Anno was great. It was great. But Bruce Dickinson just made it fucking arena great. You know, he was just bigger than... And he's still... If you ever see Bruce Dickinson perform, that motherfucker will run up and down the stage. He's in his 50s. He's jumping on speakers. I mean, you got to be in fucking shape to jump on speakers.
Wow.
This motherfucker's still putting on a fucking show.
Fucking Gabriel jumps on speakers. Fuck you, kid. Fuck Bruce Dickinson. July 10th, you'll see him jump on speakers.
July 11th.
July 11th, he's doing Circus du Soleil. He's a fucking savage. He's like fucking Pacquiao. You know when Pacquiao goes to box afterward, he fucking goes and does karaoke? Gabriel does Vegas, he goes and does fucking Circus du Soleil. Nobody knows. They put a mask on him and shit. Listen, man, I love you for doing this. I wish you all the luck. You're my little young brother. You know, you wanted to reveal a secret to these people about us?
About how far back we go?
No, with the virginity.
All right, look.
Shit. Tell these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Tell the girlfriend I brought it up. I'm sorry. I love it with all my
heart. Way before, yeah. All right, so I guess the year was 1997. I just turned 21. And, We're in Phoenix, Arizona.
Tucson.
Oh, yeah. Tucson, Arizona. Sorry.
Which, let's let these people know, there's tons of dirty bitches in Tucson. When you fly into Tucson, they give you a condom with a needle and shit with a syringe. That's where I got the pimple under my tongue. I think it was in Tucson. So break it down for me. I'm sorry to interrupt.
All right. Yes, it was the... It was the summer of 97. We're in Tucson, Arizona, playing at Bugsy's. And, I met someone there, and something happened that night. That was the first time it happened. Now, as far as how dirty you want me to get it, Joy, I won't do it.
Just tell her you banged her. That's it. I don't want you to tell me you stuck a finger up her ass or she stuck a finger in your ass.
The deed happened, man. It went down. But here's the thing is that...
But you didn't say nothing the next morning. Like, you were still in shock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was in shock for a few reasons. So I go to... Matter. Never mind, dude. The cookie.
Yeah, the cookies, this is tremendous. I ain't fucking around with nobody.
You're gonna make me forget you made me forget my own virginity, dude. That's how good that cookie was.
No, I'm telling you, this is the real deal. Joe, you should have had a fucking cookie. It would have put you over the top. This cleanse ain't gonna do nothing to you now. That cleanse is gonna melt in your fucking stomach. How's that cookie feeling?
It's amazing, bro.
Let me give some shout outs. Get the fuck out of here.
Get right, he's gonna call you in like 45 minutes and talk to you about Black Sabbath and...
Devils and why your family came from Mexico.
And what was the outline? Did you have an outline for the show or not?
That's funny.
I just try to fucking write things down so I remember. Cool. Shane Quinlan, Justin Monk, Mad Buffer, Rob Bebtold, Lady Rent, whatever your fucking name is. Lady Rannicorn. You know who I'm talking about. Rannicorn. She wanted to sniff your ass. She even said it. Whose asshole do I have to sniff to get a shout out? And I said, Lisa Yet. Lady Rannicorn, Tiago Guerra, and Aris Abar, Puerto Rican dude, bad motherfucker.
You're not telling the whole story, though. I had to have like 10 pounds of hummus or something.
No, listen, don't worry about that.
10 pounds of hummus?
He hates hummus, so I bring it up, and he just goes into a panic attack. That and ranch And what was the thing we found out in the live podcast?
Soy coffee.
Soy milk
in your coffee. What the fuck? Put regular milk. Like it's going to change your life. You know what I'm saying? A little fucking...
Just regular.
They all want to be different. I want almond joy in my milk. Listen, how about I fucking stab you? Hold on. How about a shout out to Onnit for all your fucking health needs? If your knee hurts, strong bone. If you want more cardio, get some fucking Shroom Tech. The one I take for jiu-jitsu, it keeps me fucking. Sometimes I leave jiu-jitsu. Sometimes I leave jiu-jitsu, bro. My heart's fucking pumping. I got to go home and calm down. That's how good the Shroom Tech Sport is. If you're looking for some more fucking cardio, I mean, I stopped smoking dope, so I got more air in there. You know what I'm saying? But the fucking the Shroom Tech Sport really takes it to a different level. I'm fucking stoned to the gills. You know? Go to Onnit.com. See what they got. They got the ropes. They got the kettlebells. They got the fucking Alpha brand. Go over there, pressing.
Church.
In the box. C-H-U-R-C-H. I hope that's how you spell it. Knock yourself out. Also, Nature Box. The healthiest fucking snacks sent to your fucking house. No drama. You understand me? The fucking mailman knocks. Boom. There you get your body. You don't ask them questions, nothing. You can order the pistachios. You can order the sesame sticks. You can knock yourself the fuck out. My favorite, the cocoa almonds. Tell them, leave it. Bad motherfucker.
I never get to try it.
Shut up, cocksucker. I knocked on your door, but you weren't home. He brought them back.
You bring me the weird ones. You bring me the pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, you like that shit. You like hummus. God, keep eating that shit. They're going to fucking take you over there and butt fuck you in the muffler. And you're going to be eating hummus with chips. You know who, the Taliban. I'm scared of you gonna keep fucking around with those people. Nature's Box. Go to the box. Press on what?
Joey.
J-O-E-Y. Nature's Box. Get 50% off your first fucking order. This is nutritionist approved snacks. I ain't fucking with you. They're fucking tremendous when you're stoned. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Nature's Box.
Naturebox.com. Tremendous.
Naturebox.com.
The fucking naturebox.com. The fucking pistachio, spicy pistachios, but the almonds and cocoa, fucking tremendous. And everything's natural, dog. I ain't fucking around with you. Nailed It Life. If you want to smoke wax, Nailed It Life. If you want to smoke the fucking vapor, Nailed It Life. If you want to smoke crack, go fuck your mother. Nailed It Life. Tremendous. Go to nailedlife.com. Tell them Uncle Joey sent you. Get 20% off your fucking first vapor pen. And that's how we do it, dog. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got time for fucking fun and games. This week, Salt Lake City. Next week, Governor's Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's it. You want to plug anything, my brother?
Ah, shoot. Yes, I'll be in San Diego.
What date?
The 26th of June.
What club?
American.
There you go. American Comedy Club. Nice fucking place. They got pork chops. Go down there. Tell them Martin Moreno and Uncle Joey sent you. They know. They know. Just go to Live Nation. It's him and Willie Nelson. Battling it out all fucking summer. You take July off still?
No, man.
Not this year.
Actually, the next month, it's just, you know, talking about the movie.
So you're not traveling the next month.
No, I'm traveling the entire month, going all over the country, you know, doing my runs to let people know about the movie. So, I mean, it's time off, but it's not time off. You know, it's time off from performing, but it's not time off from the traveling and the staying in the different cities and the, you know, just getting up early and getting out there and letting people know what's going on.
I love you with all my heart, and you know that. If not, you wouldn't be here sitting out. You know how much I love you. You have all the respect in the world. I would wish you all the luck in the world. You know this movie's going to be tremendous. I assume I'm going to the premiere.
I'll get you to the premiere.
Fuck
yeah,
I'll wear a suit like a motherfucker. Shiny shoes. I'll sit next to Malash like a doctor. You know, I'll watch him all night. He can't eat no fucking cleanser. You know, so I love you. Thank you very much for listening to the church.
Joey.
See you Monday. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Joe, for bringing him up. Flying Jew. I love you, cocksucker. How bad was the cookie? Did I lie to you?
Yes.
You're high, but you're manageable.
Well, yeah, because I ate like 75 milligrams.
That's right. You got a beautiful shirt on. Look at you. You can see how Jewish you ate. He ate 75 milligrams, not 73. How many? 70.
I don't know. I ate 3/4 of a half.
I love you, cocksucker. You did a good job this week. You're a savage, you bad motherfucker. Look at you. Wiggle for them. Put missing persons on Wiggle for them. Are you going to give him a shout out?
Huh?
You gonna talk to these people about this?
I was going to, but
go ahead, give them a little shout out. Go ahead. You bad motherfucker. You look at you solid.
You got us lost on the way to San Diego, by the way.
I don't give a fuck. Don't worry about San Diego. It was you. Now you want to talk about San Diego a week later? What are you going to bring up? The Malaysian plane now? Just read the fucking thing.
Now that the show is over, remember to go to naturebox.com and order great tasting healthy snacks at 50% off. Snack smarter in the new year. Just go to naturebox.com, promo code Joey. Naturebox.com, promo code Joey. And thank you to Nailed It Life, Imagine Joey Diaz.
And Onnit.
Honored's not part of this anything.
Yes, they are. Today they are.
Okay. Go to Honored.com.
Go to Honored.com.
Promo code church.
Get it together. Oh, shit. Get a little wiggle for the camera. Wait. Oh, shit. What? What? Oh, holy shit.